Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello and welcome to Serious Vintage. I'm Jeff Mose.
And I'm Nat Mose.
Today we'll be talking about results from the TWAN Serious Invitational, including interviews from the scene and also discussions of food afterwards.
Hi everyone, we're here with Jerry Yang, who was part of the TWAN Series Open, TWAN Series Invitational. He was sort of de facto tournament organizer at the time because he was the one running the DCI reporter. He's been a longtime player in Cleveland, so we're happy to have him here.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Yeah, so I've been talking to people afterwards. I think everyone felt that the TWAN Series Invitational was just a fantastic event.
I would have to agree. I think it really came off. It came off perfectly, I would say. Everyone had a really good time.
Some people had too good of a time.
That's true. I mean, part of having a good time and TWAN being a very gracious host was the amount of booze that was there on hand. And I mean, I got there at like 11 o'clock and I think you guys had already been drinking.
Oh yeah.
For a little bit.
Well, I wasn't there yet, but yeah. I know
yeah, like people had started drinking already when I got there, and it's not like they ever stopped.
Yeah. Oh no, I think we started around, I want to say 10 or 10:30.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we didn't stop until at least 1 or 2 the next day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I was there. I was there at last call when they kicked us out of the bar that we went to after the restaurant.
Right. That's because you were, double parked in front of the gay bar.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So wait, you guys went back to the gay bar?
So, okay, well, this is a little bit...
There's no denial here.
So after we went out to dinner, some of the guys wanted to go out to, you know, bar hopping afterwards, and some of us were like, we have drives, we have to get home. So some of us went back to Tuan's apartment to pick up our cars that were outside there, and Tuan lives next to Bounce, which is a dominant gay bar in the Cleveland scene.
Dominant gay? That's a specific kind of
thing, like,
right?
Japanese card gay, but...
it's pretty... I mean, it's a serious gay bar, and someone had parked, like there's diagonal parking all along that front area, and someone had parked... parallel parked behind me in the diagonal parking so that I could not get out. And
Jeff's rear was blocked.
Entirely. There was no escape through the rear.
Now, I just kind of want to point out that we actually recorded this once before. We recorded the whole episode once before, and we had to re-record it because Jeff didn't get everything. And this is taking a totally different track.
It really is. It really does.
Basically the same with Jeff taking it in the rear.
Right. Well, I mean, I know that still happens.
So the upshot of it was that I ended up having to go and hang out with Tuan and the rest of the crew at the bar until last call when we came back and finally able to escape. That's like the end of the night. The more important part of the night, that's when everything went bad.
Let's talk about the vintage part.
Yeah. The vintage part and the drinking part and even the restaurant part, you know, all those went really well.
Right.
I mean, we had 18 people turn out.
Yep.
And I think what was the max we were, I don't think we would
24 want, was the max. Tron was prepared for 24.
I think that actually 24 would have been pretty tight in that area.
Yes. It would have been pretty tight in the area.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no matter how many people, the area was pretty tight anyways.
There were definitely some tight individuals.
I mean, you have a bunch of dudes playing vintage, so the area is going to be tight, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tight.
I like the pacing of the tournament. I noticed that I was looking back at the Wizards Event Reporter
rounds,
logs,
times, yeah.
And the rounds all started and finished in less than an hour.
Really?
It was surprising, yeah. And we didn't like, I mean, we misclicked half the timing, you know, because we had timers and stuff.
Right.
And we didn't even get to time, I think, but in two rounds. And then that enabled us to basically play all the Swiss rounds in less than 1 hour per round.
Huh.
That allowed us to have that little round two, round three break for wonderful meat trays and appetizers. It was good.
Yeah, I know that. I think that everything came off really well. One of the things that was great was that we could just sort of be like, hey, let's have a break. Tuan had all this food on hand, like the meat tray and stuff that.
And some appetizers for.
Yeah, we could just,
That meat tray is not a euphemism, right?
No.
Okay.
Not in this case.
Not in this case.
Other meat tray came later.
Okay.
I'm really impressed though that we were able to keep all our rounds under an hour. That's really great.
Yeah.
Until the top four match when Sam was hammered out of his mind and spent
What I was going to say is that, I think top eight took almost as long as the entire Swiss rounds took.
I wouldn't be surprised because in the top four, the other match was done before Sally and Sam had finished game one.
And Sally and Sam were playing Burning Long and Belcher, respectively.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a match that should go to time, ever.
It was incredible.
Well, I think, admittedly, there was time for Sam to have a Tom Collins made for him so that he could drink his Tom Collins before playing his match.
Well, you know, priorities. Well, I can understand.
Yeah.
I was chastised when Sam, like halfway through the match, was like, I need another drink. And I actually, like, got him a bottle of scotch.
Why?
And
why? I'm still kind of angry about that. Why'd you give him? So I brought a bottle of Glenlivet 15. Why would you hand it? You had an array of other drinks to hand him. And you had to hand him a 15-year-old scotch.
I'm sorry,
we could have given him, like, at that point, a glass of water probably would have been just as fiery as anything else.
Better for him, in fact.
I'm
like
sorry,
a little water with some sugar in it.
I just can't.
This Tom Collins is great!
But yeah, as far as metagame goes, we had mostly combo, it seems like, because we had like...
Yeah, there's a lot of combo.
We had three Belcher players, two Burning Long players. That's already...
Both of whom made top two.
Yeah, yeah. And two of the three Belcher players made top eight.
Right.
Actually, top four, didn't they? No. No, because
Sam Randall
in top eight.
Yeah, we only really had the three workshop players.
Yeah, and, only three workshop players.
I know, Jerry, you played one of them. You were playing Forge Masters, and the other two were playing Espresso Stacks.
Yeah, yeah. Tuan and Nam were both playing basically the same deck. Uh-huh.
Which is funny, because Tuan played the Trinisphere even after we've had all those conversations about how he doesn't like Trinisphere.
Did he make top eight?
No.
There you go.
Nam did, and he was not playing Trinisphere.
That's
definitive proof.
This is why it works. This is why it doesn't.
I agree. Tuan went back on his morals because he said that he expected a lot of combo, and he thought that the explosive power of Trinisphere would be better in sealing up the early game than the
player. Yeah, well, he had a metagame, right? But,
yeah. I agree.
The Trinisphere didn't do it.
Because I heard a lot of people who were metagaming against shops expecting a lot of shops, and they were not happy.
Yeah, well, that's the reputation that Cleveland has, but I think that's changing.
Yeah. I think even we have been talking about Ohio being the land of Mishra's workshops for longer than it's actually been playing out. Yeah. Because I know the last several tournaments that I've gone to, I'll face shops maybe once a tournament, if that. I always am, like, super prepared for it, and it just never comes up.
Yeah, well, you have to be still prepared for it, because it'll still beat you if you don't,
totally.
Not ready for it.
It's like drugs.
But exactly. But I know we talked about this the first time we recorded, where it was sort of we were trying to figure out what the Cleveland metagame overall picture is, and I think did we sort of decide that it was a very experimental metagame, that people generally like playing what they like to play, so it's not necessarily a...
I think it ends up being, what did you call it, Ohio style?
It's a transforming Ohio style metagame. Like, I was talking to Jake after the tournament, cause he was playing red, white, hate bears, and he made top eight. He was like, wow, you know, I mean, if I can play these terrible cards and make top eight or do even better than that, it would be insane if I actually played good cards. So he's like, I'm going to, you know, look at blue and start playing blue because why shouldn't I be playing with the best stuff in the format? And so, I mean, I'm sure that he's going to bring his signature garbage aggro style to it and see what he turns up with. But at the same time, I mean, it's something of a people come into this and they start somewhere, but they grow over right. time. I mean, Charles Rocco was playing Grixis. He started out as almost exclusively a dredge player.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
got
he
into
played,
shops
he
for
played
a while.
Dredge for like 6 months before switching yeah. to anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And at I least. Mean, I started out playing dredge in the long, long ago before I dropped out. And then when I was coming back, I was like, you know, I want to play blue. I don't want to play dredge anymore and
right.
make people hate me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I started out on fish forever ago and then switched to Belcher for a long time. So.
Well, Zach was playing your specific yeah. Belcher list, right?
Yeah. And went 0-5.
Yeah, he had a terrible day, which is funny because, I mean, it was the last Team Series Open that he
yeah.
was either top four or top two.
Yeah, he dominated.
Same deck?
Yeah, he crushed everyone. It was ugly. Yeah. And talking to him, and you'll hear this later in the interviews, he just could not get a break.
A
I mean,
game.
he had a game where he wheeled and then memory jarred and just never saw an empty the Warrens or a Belcher, which is statistically highly improbable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's how it goes.
Like that.
I mean, I've
yeah.
definitely played that tournament as well.
Yeah, I think Nat and I both, we were both playing, well, you can talk about your experiences about not catching a break.
Yeah. Well, I was playing the Vintage Restored list with the Restoration Angels, Snapcasters. Basically control this. You know, I won my first match pretty easily against Rug Delver, and then I played against Jason Correa, who was on Blue Red Land still, and he, in game three, after I won fairly handily in game one and lost fairly handily in game two, he, actually I guess game two was pretty back and forth, and it was sort of even. And then in game three, he had he drew and played five man lands in a row.
Damn.
Which, it was the most aggressive landstill matchup I've ever been a part of. And I was able to swords two Mistress Factories and disenchant one of them.
Oh, nice.
And I just couldn't, you know, it was just too much aggro. Like, I could block with an angel for a little while, but he eventually just swarmed me with man lands.
That's so funny that the control deck was too aggro for you.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was just like he had all of his man lands at one time in successive turns. So it's just like I don't know how to deal with that. I mean, I don't have wastelands or strip mines or anything like that, so I couldn't remove them without casting a spell, basically.
Yeah,
it's rough beats.
I'm playing a pretty similar list.
Yeah.
We have a couple of differences, but I also didn't have the strip mine or the wastelands. I played against Jason Perret in that landstill list in round one, and both games he started out with first turn Library of Alexandria, and I'm just like,
oh,
well,
welcome to the Jason Perret matchup.
Yeah, it's do or die now, because this
yeah.
game can't go long.
You
yeah.
have to expect if you're playing against Perret that he'll have turn one library on the draw every time.
He knows it's restricted, right?
Someone should probably tell him.
He's familiar with that list, but we haven't.
I don't think
we
did back checks, so it's possible he was packing
up. Awkward.
So speaking of deck checks, I mean, we have to talk, Jerry, about your experience, because I'm pretty sure that the list that you registered had four Black Lotuses and...
Well, my registered list was awesome. It had four Ancestral Recalls, four Tinkers, four Black Lotus. I actually think it did have four Library of Alexandria, so it might not be that far off from Jason's. My win condition was four Karavex Torch.
Ooh.
So I had the Wheel of Fortune and Time Twister combos.
Did you have channel?
Yeah, four channel, of course.
Oh, gross.
Wow.
It was very good.
What was
the
Tinker target?
Jar.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything was draw sevens, just to chain mana, and then Karavex Torch people.
That seems good.
I did that because I had told Mark Trogdon, I'd asked him to build me a deck to play the tournament. I didn't want to take a look at it until round one, shuffling up for it.
Yeah.
So I had to register a deck list before the tournament, and so that's what I ended up registering, and so that I could go into round one blind.
Yeah.
Did you get a round loss in round two when they took a look at the deck lists?
No, thankfully the guy, whoever was running Wizards Events Reporter, did not actually do any deck checks, so.
Oh,
wow.
I just skipped
nice
by
guy.
That one. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah. So what did you end up playing, Jerry?
I played a version of Metalworker Staff with Forge Masters. Ironically, I never comboed off with Staff's Domination or Forge Master, so that I pretty much like, just played Lodestone Aggro.
That sounds like the Jerry Yang method of playing a deck.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
you have a deck that has a solid game plan, and then you take its backup plan.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I can only play with what I draw, so.
I gotta say that the Lodestone Aggro game plan is not
probably
a bad one.
Better than the Forge Master plan.
Yeah. I went 3-2, so it's good enough to go 3-2, I guess.
Yeah, I remember losing to you.
Yeah, well, you know, turn one Tundra is always good against turn one Lodestone, so.
Hey, you had turn one Wasteland. That was the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Turn one Wasteland and then turn two Rip the Workshop Lodestone. It was good.
Yeah, see? I mean, your rip off the top is better than mine, which was not a land.
That's funny. I think that I remember talking to Jason Perret, actually, who had, after he had recently come back from a trip out west, and he said it was really weird playing Magic in not Cleveland because people in not Cleveland will lead with turn one non-basic. Whereas in Cleveland, he never sees that.
Yeah, you always open with the fetch land just in case, or you lead with your first island so you can still fetch for your second one. Yeah. I don't even know if that's important anymore.
It doesn't sound like it if there were only three workshop players in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, like, there were still fish players, and I mean, Perret's definitely playing Wastelands. You don't only have to worry about playing non-basics against jobs.
Right. Well, I mean, the tournaments are small enough that you usually know what your opponent's playing by round two or three anyway.
Also, can I just say that I really like the fact that there is a power trade-off in being greedy and playing non-basics? Because, like, just talking about Modern as a format where non-basics are just almost exclusively not punished, that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
And, like, if the format didn't have Wasteland in it, I would feel like it was really missing something.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Could you imagine being able to play, like, turn one Ancestral Recall, turn two Meddling Mage off of just anything you wanted? I mean, that happens anyways, I suppose. But.
It does, but at the same time, you can get totally screwed if your opponent has the Wasteland and just knocks you down there.
Right.
And that's important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's especially important when you think about the possibility of, you know, multiple Wastelands in a row and being able to hit your first two or three land drops with a Wasteland.
Yeah.
Just see what happens from there. I've definitely made that opening in workshop, playing workshops before, because it's some blue decks just aren't prepared for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So after the tournament, while we were waiting for the top eight to play out, one of the big issues that we had was trying to figure out where we were going to go to eat after the tournament.
Before we go to eat, we should talk about the prize support.
Oh,
how
okay.
exciting it was.
Yeah, actually, Juan's introduction to the tournament is on YouTube. I'll link that in the article. But he discusses the prize support there.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about that was the day before Friday when Jimmy and Sally got in from Wisconsin and Sam came up from Columbus, we sat down at Tuan's place just to, you know, basically take a look at what he had. And Tuan found out all the cards that he wanted to give out, and we were just blown away by just how much he had in price support and how much the cards were worth now in comparison to what they had been worth just even 2-3 months ago.
Yeah. You know?
And so we finally talked him down to the price support that he gave out.
I was tweeting pictures of the price support, which was, let's say we had a Mox Ruby and a Mox Emerald for first and second, and then two Forces each for third and fourth, and then a choice of a Volcanic or a Tundra for fifth through eighth. The people on Twitter were like, wow, where is this tournament going on? People were really psyched because, it sort of drove home the point to me that there are just not a lot of well-prized supported tournaments going on in the United States right now.
Well, especially for Vintage.
Right. I think that's been part of it is we've been trying to figure out, I mean, we have been discussing as Team Serious trying to figure out what the right balance is between prize support and entry fee. And I think most of the, you know, most of the mid-level tournaments that, you know, happen once a month or once every other month or whatever, those end up being in the $20 to $25 entry fee range, and then they give out cash. So it usually ends up being like $100 for first and then, 60 to 80 for second.
Yeah.
Third and fourth. Get their money back, maybe a little bit extra, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But this one, obviously, Tuan stepped it up, and we had a $50 entry fee, which allowed him to give away the two Moxes plus Forces plus Duels down through top eight, which I think made a big difference. Like, people were excited to play for that, and obviously, we're seeing that elsewhere, too. I know Nick Detweiler is going to be having his big Power 9 tournament or Power 8 tournament in June, I think.
And that price support looks really good.
Yeah, it's impressive.
I haven't seen that. What's the offering for that?
I think it's top 8 drafts the Power 9 or they draft Power 8. Not exactly sure, but so he's got power for top 8, all through top 8, and then some other stuff going beyond that, I think.
Nice.
His entry is $100.
Oh, wow.
So, but I know that's sort of in transition because of some of the developments around Gen Con not having vintage champs this year, so he's trying to see if he can provide a little bit more and host a few more people, but I'm not sure where that's going to settle out. It's just that's what it is now.
Yeah, I can't get onto TMD right now, so
check
with the price support.
Right. But like I said, the important thing is that, top 8 gets a piece of power each. And that's obviously a big deal. I mean, the problem with that is that if you have a limited number of people, he's restricted to charging $100 a person just to cover himself.
Yeah, it's really cool to have the big prizes that really get a lot of attention and get people really excited because I sort of feel like that's been sort of missing because I think people come down. I mean, it can cost a decent amount to do the driving and all the other ancillary costs associated with attending a tournament. And to just walk away with maybe a little bit more than the money you invested if you win or come in second, then that's not easy.
Right. And I know we've talked about it before too, that in Ohio, playing in Michigan, that sort of thing, there were a few tournaments that would offer a piece of power as first place, but really no prize beyond that or something.
Oh yeah.
It was cash. And there were a lot of times where you would come down to top 8 or top 4 or whatever. And they would split because nobody wanted to go away with nothing. And as a result, we were playing for the same mocks for months in a row. Yeah.
Well, I think we did that at RAW for an entire year.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was that HeroZone tournament where it was for a Mox Ruby and everyone was like, all right, play it out this time. And I lost to Brain in the finals. He got the Ruby and I got enough store credit to get a Vampiric Tutor.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm surprised you got that Vampiric Tutor. I would have expected a handshake.
So that's a bit heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is we're balancing the prize support.
Yeah.
It's just it's so hard to do because you need to make sure you cover yourself so you're not hemorrhaging money every tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And you still want to have something big enough that it draws people. So.
On the plus side, I mean, I know that, as Jerry was saying, that Tuan still has a lot of stuff that can be offered up as future prizes, so this will not be the last.
Yeah, and I think what's nice is that we'll have, as a group, we can pull together enough price support to be able to keep this continuing on for at least the near future.
Right. Yeah.
I think two or three of us could go in on prize support and, each pay out about $100 and try and get what money we can back or something like that. Still try and do something similar to have more of these every year. Because I don't think a Tuan Serious Invitational is going to happen every month, but it'd be nice to have it happen quarterly or,
semi-annually,
that sort of
thing. We were trying to figure out if it would be better for it to be like a yearly event or a twice a year event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could probably do it 3 times a year and just have the 3rd one be Gen Con or something like that too, or have the 4th one be Gen Con.
Oh yeah, I see.
But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of options. Obviously, things are open, and we're all still talking about it and hoping that Vintage will continue.
But then afterward.
I was gonna say, speaking of Vintage continuing, I was really surprised to see that article that got linked by Jake earlier in the week that said in 2011, Wizards said that there were 12 million players for Magic.
Yeah.
And that is a huge number, right? I can't imagine Vintage being a very significant portion of that player.
No, we were estimating, 1,000 players?
Yeah, worldwide.
That sounds
about
right.
It's probably somewhere around that. It might be a little bit more or less, but 1,000 seems like probably about right.
I mean, even if you had said 2,000, I mean, what's that compared to 12 million?
Right, yeah, it doesn't matter.
We're still talking about really small numbers.
Right.
But in any case, yeah, so the tournament I thought went off really well. I think the pacing was great. I think the top 8 did drag a little bit, but I think that was more a factor of the alcohol than the tournament.
Yeah. Man.
I like that when we get to the alcohol, it's just like...
Well, there's a couple interesting things that started to happen as the night progressed on and people got more and more drunk.
Did you like Nat and all of the people who were playing Cube Draft and Nat just
shouting
sitting around
cube
going,
Cube!
Repeatedly?
Cube! Oh, yeah. So loud. And I think Nat and Sam tried to count together at some point.
We were trying to figure out what they were counting, and I really have no idea. And it's funny, because... Because I took a picture of that and then went out to the hall to tweet it, because I had to go, in order to tweet, I had to go into the stairwell because Tuan's subterranean dubstep den blocks all electronic transmissions.
It's a Faraday cage. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently Nat had some amazing fall in the kitchen that I totally
missed. Oh, it was real good. Although he did pop up very spry-like, like almost ninja-like.
It wasn't my first time, you guys. Like, I've fallen down drunk before. My assumption was that we were counting Storm, and we were probably discussing Belcher.
I think you guys were just trying to count personally.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't need to demonstrate that all the time.
Like, sure. Yeah.
That's true. Anyway, yeah, there was. It was a good time.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
What you remember was a good time.
Well, man, is there worse stuff that I didn't remember?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened with you when you weren't playing Magic, I suppose.
I pretty much
just tried to stay playing Magic so that nothing bad happened to me.
Nat was playing his cube, and he was just looking at his lands and just cracking up laughing.
I can tell you why that was. It was because I had drafted a blue deck, and I had accidentally shuffled my sideboard into it. So I would be playing this blue deck and I'd just be hilariously dumbfounded as to why I was drawing like mountains and red cards.
Nice.
Like, why are you here?
Nicely done.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the challenges that you go through when you're playing cube.
I find that during tournaments, especially in between rounds or after the tournament or before the tournament, one of my favorite things to do is to play pickup vintage games with people I haven't played with ever or in a long time.
Uh-huh.
And it was real fun to be able to play a couple pickup games with Nam, because both him and I have been gone from the Magic scene for a while.
Oh, yeah. So you guys were both playing like 2009 style.
Oh, yeah, it was real good. Didn't know what any of the new cards did. It was real good.
Nice.
Yeah, Nam was pretty depressed after he dump-trucked himself out of top four, I think it was.
Yeah, top four.
And, yeah, Jimmy basically said, I didn't think I was going to win that. And then Nam found a way to make, like, a half dozen play mistakes in a row.
Oh.
And gave it to me.
Well, wait, what happened? I don't remember seeing that.
You know, I'm not actually sure. Oh, I know that one of the things that Nam did was play a smokestack past the turn, and when it came back to him, he just...
drew a card.
Didn't ramp the stack.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
That seems real bad.
Yeah, it is real bad.
After the tournament, we couldn't figure out where we wanted to go because we had more than a dozen rowdy, drunk dudes trying to find a place to eat. From where we were by Tuan's house, it's tough to find a place that, because most of the places are small, like niche eateries that can't support, you know, a table for 14.
Right.
Well, we had 13, right?
Yeah, we had 13.
And so we wanted to try to go to Market Garden, but by the time we got there, I think it was like 10 or 10:30.
Yeah, it was 10:30.
Yeah, and it was just, there was like a gaggle of people outside waiting to get in, so we were definitely not getting in there. Thankfully, Caffrey knew the hostess, I think, at Barcento across the street, and was able to get us a seat for a table for 13 in like, I want to say 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was awesome. That guy totally came through, and it was great.
Now, what'd you eat at Barcento, Jeff?
I had the margarita pizza, which is...
Is that with tequila and salt?
No, that's the fairly stereo, it's like the very generic Italian style pizza. It's just, actually, no, I didn't have it because I had it with the house sausage on it, which was awesome.
Yeah.
because we were making big sausage peaches. So I have to say that it was kind of It was a real drag because we got seated at like 10:40 and the waiters slowboated us on drink orders and stuff until 11:05 and then told us that the main kitchen shut down at 11, so we couldn't order off the entree menu. It was just pizzas and appetizers.
Did he actually just tell you, gotcha? Or was
no,
it like...
no, we inferred that. He said, no, sorry, you can't. The kitchen closed at 11. And we were already like, man, this guy's taking a long time to actually get around to our order.
I'm pretty sure he just didn't want to shove through 13 different orders at 10:50, you know?
Still. But anyway, the pizza was good. It definitely reminded me of being in Italy for 2 weeks and eating nothing but pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was the exact same style, taste. They recreated it very well.
I had the ramp pizza, being that the only thing that was available was either pizza or appetizers. I didn't find that to be too memorable. I think actually the standout pizza was I got to have a slice from Sam's breakfast pizza. And that had bacon and a sunny side up egg and black pepper. And it was actually fairly flavorful.
Well, you said that the breakfast pizza was sort of mixed because there were some bites that had a lot of pepper and some that didn't have any, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed that it wasn't more uniformly put together. Right. I mean, after thinking about it for a couple of days, I think that at least is better, having, you know, a mix of flavor, like the flavor blasts, let's say, of black pepper.
Right.
Having those mix, that mix is better than not at all, so.
Yeah.
You would describe the pizza as flavor blasted?
Oh yeah, blasts, left and right.
Flavor blasted goldfish pizza.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, that actually sounds okay. I know that. What other kinds of pizzas did they have? Did they have anything else that was interesting?
Jimmy got the arugula pizza, which we both were kind of disappointed in that the arugula wasn't very flavorful because it was put on underneath the cheese and then cooked. So, you know how arugula gets when you cook it. Like, it just sort of dries up and wilts away. And then,
right, yeah. You know,
so well, it's more texture from.
Gusten got a meat and cheese tray.
I did hear the charcuterie was enjoyed by everyone who had it.
Yeah, it was apparently really good.
Cool.
I can't speak to it myself because I don't have any.
I mean, I'm assuming just various cured meats and cheeses.
Yeah.
What's nice is that Cleveland is the home city of Michael Ruhlman, who basically is the guy who brought back charcuterie to the United States. At least the current charcuterie movement in the fancy restaurants or fancier restaurants. And so I think Cleveland restaurants take a little pride in having a decent charcuterie spread.
I see.
I heard the knockout of the charcuterie was the duck.
He was really, really excited about that and was treasuring every piece of that he had.
Yeah, you can't beat duck.
Yeah. It's the master of three elements. How can you expect him?
That's exactly right. They can fly, swim, and waddle around. So.
It's quite impressive.
Well, that all sounds pretty good. But so what happened at dinner? I wasn't able to go to dinner. Like, we had to head back to Columbus anyway.
Have you seen the picture that was up on Facebook?
I've seen the pictures. I know you guys had the optimal number to do the Last Supper.
Yeah,
photo.
Not everyone got that memo, so it's sort of a mixed bag. And we have one that is just sort of like a dark blurry photo, and then one with a different camera where it looks like everybody is charging eye lasers and about to blow out the cameraman.
And it looks like some of you were doing the Last Supper thing and some of you were just doing wrestling poses.
There's nothing wrong with wrestling.
No, it's fine.
Wrestling at the Last Supper, though, much better.
So you guys went out to a bar afterwards?
Yeah.
So after all of this all day drinking.
I mean, you can't just stop drinking after hour 13 or 12.
No, that's right.
It was hilarious because Sam, obviously, as we said,
spearheaded this movement.
Was super hammered, and he kept on ordering beers. And as soon as he was cogent enough to drink again, he would just chug a few more beers until he no longer could. And this continued on until we got thrown out of the bar. Not really thrown out, but you know, like it's time to close.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I had to tell Tuan that I had never actually been at a bar until Last Call before, so that was a first for me.
Well, there you go, hanging out with Team Serious.
I spent a lot of time in bars.
It's a whole new experience. Serious experience.
I don't think we mentioned though that the Tuan Serious Invitational was a formal dress affair, and it was really cool. I mean, first of all, I really enjoyed the formal dressiness of it. It was a good time. But with 13 guys walking around Cleveland just in suits and ties and stuff.
That was a good time.
Yeah, we got a lot of stares, but we also, I mean, we rocked it and it was great.
I always think that's an interesting way to go about it because it does, I think there are some people who slay differently because they're in nicer dress.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
it's like impart confidence or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it does. I definitely feel different when I'm wearing a suit.
Right.
So you're saying it affected your tournament performance.
I wouldn't like to say that because my tournament performance was terrible.
It might have. I mean, maybe you just shouldn't ever wear a suit.
Fair enough. Maybe that's true.
Yeah, maybe it affected it negatively because you went 1-4 like I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is nice, though, to have everyone. I think it just classes it up, I suppose. It gives you a more vintage-y feel, maybe.
Yeah. I know we've always talked about that, is the, you know, this vintage atmosphere. I mean, hence the dressing up, hence the scotch and that beer, hence the, I mean, we're looking for, you know, felt tables and monocles here.
Right? Also, we were really hoping that the police would bust in due to a noise problem, and we would have to explain to them why we were 18 guys dressed in suits playing a card game while drunk.
Yeah. It's a party having to do with citrus fruit.
you can look us up online.
I like that we had so many different scotches there. I think, what was it, like 6 or 7 different scotches?
Yeah, it was truly something.
Can you give us a rundown, Jerry? Because I enjoy scotch apparently, but I'm not an expert by any means.
I think if we keep it at a looser interpretation and just do whiskeys with or without the E,
okay.
We had a whole bunch. We had the Bullet Rye and the Bullet Normal whiskey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, of the scotches, we had Cardew. I think that was like a 8 or a 10 year. The Glenmorangie. And then I had the Glenlivet. And then Caffrey brought the Jameson. So we had a good range of either single malt and or blended whiskeys, which is actually kind of neat to be able to, because I know by the time Jeff got there, I had tried almost all the scotches. And it's interesting to be able to have direct side-by-side comparisons of all these different scotches, whiskeys in general.
Yeah, what was your favorite? What would you recommend?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm biased because I brought the Glenlivet 15, and that's like my favorite special occasion scotch. I think it's smoother and less acidic and smoky and burny.
Yeah. I started with that one, so I have a pretty good memory of it. It was definitely as you described.
Yeah. I think it's just more conducive to a long-term sipping drink versus like a short shot and or, you know, 1 hour drink.
Right, yeah.
We're definitely not drinking for just an hour at this point. We're definitely going in for the long haul.
So. Right, yeah.
I don't think anyone starts drinking at 10 a.m. and is like, I'm only going to be drinking a short time here.
I'll be done by noon. This is fine.
No, I think it was very good. Actually, one of the things I tried for the first time on at the tournament was the one that was recommended on your last podcast. I think your last or the last second to last podcast, the Ransom Gin.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that was
I know Chapel likes that one.
Yeah, it was delicious. I normally don't drink gin because I don't like the taste. It seems to have like a medicinal.
That's just prejudice.
Yeah. But, this Ransom Gin, I must have had, 3 or 4 glasses of it, just straight. No.
You were drinking it straight?
Oh yeah, it was delicious.
Wow.
I think what's interesting about the Ransom Gin that I remember is you could actually taste the juniper, and that was very upfront without any of the medicinal aftertaste. So that was.
Oh, okay. So you still got the sort of piney juniper taste without getting the gross parts to go with it.
Exactly, without the pine saw, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's pretty good.
You could always chase it if you missed that.
Yeah, exactly. I could mix it. I could just wash my glass in pine saw.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think we can sort of move on now. The big thing about this tournament was that we got recordings with all of the players except for Jeff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, I didn't interview myself because that would just sound really dumb.
Why not? Don't you, question yourself or interview yourself every day?
If you've been drinking, you would have done it.
Constantly, but I don't share those with other people.
I think we can go on and we'll play for you the rest of the interviews with the players. These will be in order. Is it last to first you're doing?
Yeah, we'll start out with 18th with Zach. playing Belcher, and then we'll go all the way to Solly at first with Burning Oath.
Yeah. So enjoy listening to those.
And they're totally out of order too. So, I mean, you're going to hear spoilers at different moments and it's sort of like Memento where you're just trying to figure out in what order the story actually happens.
Right.
So wasn't there a literary term you had for that?
Discombobulation?
No, I think you had a literary term for spoiler alert.
A foreshadowing. Yeah, that's
foreshadowing. There you go.
Yeah, it's not spoilers, it's foreshadowing.
Nice.
I'm Zach Shaw, as the man on the Team Series forums.
And you are playing today?
I'm playing the Natmo Special Goblin Charbelcher.
And how's that one going for you?
I won 4. I have won 0 games.
That's
really
rough. Yeah, so what made you decide to play Belcher today?
I was really lazy and didn't sleeve up another deck.
Also, everyone else has been saying they've been playing Belcher because they can drink. And
yeah,
play Belcher.
Well, that's true. Like, I've drank much more than I probably thought I would have if I was playing a combo deck or something.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate.
Mm-hmm. So what's been going wrong?
I have done so many wheel effects and seen nothing relevant.
So it's just a bad day in terms of the Wheel of Fortune?
The Wheel of Fortune, yeah.
You're on the bottom.
I wheeled into a memory jar, and I dug something like 30 cards in a matter of 5 turns and saw not a... Empty the Warrens, nowhere got the Charbel Church.
That's rough. Do you feel like you're not being aggressive enough in mulliganing?
Oh, no, I'm being super aggressive in mulliganing.
That's also not working out for you?
The deck just doesn't work today.
What have you played against?
Round 1 was Burning Tendrils, played by Solly.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of whooped me all over last Friday. Round 2 was the Mirror, because there's 3 Belcher decks here. And round 3 was Drug Delver, and round 4 was actually Jeff Mose with Resto
my
Angel.
Yes, yes. Constituting my my first win of the game at the last table.
So now you beat me. You
yeah.
Beat the,
it's pretty good.
No longer in the winner's bracket.
We found who was weakest.
It's Belcher.
I guess so. The other Belcher decks seem to be doing okay.
Yeah, Randall is piloting a black version that's... he's doing okay. I think he's like 3-1 now.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know what Sam, because I know he's piloting one, but I don't know what his record is.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then there is the one Dredge player, Caffrey.
Yes.
I don't know how he's doing. He has a bottle of Jameson next to him all the time.
We were battling last round,
so he gave
and he beat me, yeah.
So,
but
he was 1-1-1.
That makes him 1-1-1.
So now he's probably like 2-1-1.
Yeah, if he can win out, he might have a chance.
So far, it's been pretty fun, though.
Yeah, it's been a great time. Looking forward to anything for dinner?
I don't know. I've never been to Cleveland.
Yeah, the Cleveland people always have lots of answers for this question that everyone else is like, I don't know.
I've never been to Cleveland.
Ask the Cleveland people.
Yeah, I'm going with them on this. There's a lot of booze, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That offsets whatever I may be eating.
Sounds good. All right, well, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
And who might you be? I'm Nat Mose. I'm one of the hosts of Serious Vintage, periodically.
Fancy running into you here.
Weird.
What are you playing today, Nat?
I'm playing Vintage Restored, which is a blue control deck with Restoration Angels as a finisher.
I didn't realize it was called Vintage Restored, and I'm playing the deck.
Well, you can call it whatever you want.
To catch a title.
It's blue control with Restoration Angels.
And how has it been going for you?
So far, I'm 1-2, so I think if I win out at this point, I can still potentially make top 8, but like I said, potentially.
What'd you lose against?
So far, I've lost it to Landstill and Burning Oath.
That's pretty rough. It seems like this should actually have a decent matchup against Burning Oath.
It should have a decent matchup against pretty much everything, but...
Just didn't work out that way?
Some things don't work out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's always a little bit of variance.
Right. I mean, against my... Landstill opponent, who is Jason Perret, in game 3, he drew 5 of his man lands, which I was able to remove 2 of them and block a couple with Restoration Angel, but he still was able to swarm me with the rest, so wasn't able to pull it out against him. And against Mike Salamafi, who was playing Burning Oath, I beat him game 1, and in game 3, he wheeled me into a Force of Will, a Restoration Angel, and 5 lands. and he did give me another turn, and I did get a mana drain which I used to force of will, but after that I was pretty much dead. So he had way more threats than I had counters at that point. That's how that deck works.
Pretty rough, yeah.
Yep.
What'd you win against?
I won against, and I win against.
They all just fall by the wayside, not very memorable.
I won against Alec Kappas playing Rob Delver.
Really? How'd that matchup go?
That matchup is a lot of fun. I would play that matchup many more times because it's so much fun.
It seems like, I mean, Restoration Angel is pretty good in that matchup, along with Rest in Peace.
Restoration Angel is tits in that matchup. Since it blocks Delver and doesn't get hit by Lightning Bolt, and it's just really hard for him to deal with. I beat him 2-0, I think, and in game 2, I surgical extractioned his Delvers and pretty much won big. Well, not necessarily based on that, but he didn't have any other good threats against me, so I won easily.
Go for it. Are you drinking scotch out of a mug? Where liquor in a mug warms you like a hug. Happiness is just a flame in the whole way.
It's not really like... I mean, actually, the liquor is kept cold by this mug because I have this handy handle that doesn't make my liquor warm.
Oh, fancy that. All right. That's pretty cool.
That's the hot serious tip. Vintage tip for the day.
Cool.
Drink your liquor out of a mug because it has a handle.
Did you run in a surgical extraction again?
Yeah, well, against both Alec and against Landfill, I was boarding out a force of them because my feeling is that they're not going to do anything on turn one that I'm going to want to counter.
Oh.
And I would rather counter something with a 1-to-1 trade than a 2-to-1 force of will trade. So, I mean, against Alec it worked out, and against Landfill I guess it didn't, although he was playing lands that I couldn't counter. So yeah, I guess Alec, my 60th card, so to speak, was force of will and, well, was between force of will and surgical extraction. So I brought in the surgical extraction and was able to hit him with it.
Yeah.
And he later played Mystical Tutor, which I let him resolve, and then played Snapcaster Mage, targeting my surgical extraction in an attempt to have him shuffle his deck and
nice.
Put his Ancestral Recall somewhere else in his library rather than on top. Didn't end up mattering, ended up beating him anyway. Glad to have that rather than Force of Will at the time. So, there we go.
Cool. Sounds good. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I will be on the next episode of Serious Vintage.
See you then. So, who are you?
I am Matt Hazard.
All right, Matt. What did you play today?
I had Noblefish.
What made you decide to play Noblefish today?
I had played it a few years ago and felt comfy with it, and thought it might have had some use against what everybody would be bringing here.
What were you expecting people to bring?
Shops.
Did you play against shops?
No.
Because I think there were only two shops players here.
No, I didn't play any shops.
We actually ended up being real combo, like three Belchers, three Long.
I played Dredge, and I thought, oh, that's great. Let's come here and masturbate with our friends. then I played, let's see, Belcher?
Oh, well, just a blur.
The red-white guys in top eight.
Oh, yeah.
The very last one I played Nat.
What was your record?
It was horrible. It was 1-3-1.
Hey, that's better than mine.
Drew with the Dredge.
That's real neat. How'd you manage that?
Well, I lost the first game, got a Rest in Peace out early the second game, beat him. And then the third game, got a Rest in Peace out, but couldn't draw my dudes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What else went wrong over the course of the day?
Well, against the red-white guy, I did have every colored mana-producing land in play.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
That's cool.
I could have hardcast Blightsteel if it were in my deck. And he was at 2, and then he top-decked a Stoneforge and all went kaput.
Oh yeah, okay. What'd you win against?
Net had blue. He had Tinker, Mystical Drain, Forest, Restoration Angel.
Did your deck have a hard time with Restoration Angel?
Not when I play Gitaxian Probe and then drop a Meddling Mage on Restoration
Angel. Oh, nice. All right.
What if you do have a Trigon Predator, and if it's pumped, if it's exalted.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I'll roll over it.
Just high to it.
Yeah. What have you been drinking? I'm asking everyone. I'm not saying you're hammered.
I'm driving back. I got 2-hour drive in front of me, so this is just a Coca-Cola.
What have you been drinking earlier? Or have you been staying off the sauce?
I haven't had any sauce.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You sticking around for dinner, or are you heading back?
No, I'll be hitting the road soon. I'm going to watch somebody's top eight.
All right. Well, we're going to miss you, and thank you for coming, and thank you for talking to me.
And who might you be?
Hi, I'm Eric. How's it going?
Hi, Eric.
Caffrey.
Yeah. So, what have you been playing today, Eric?
I've been playing Dredge.
So you were that guy.
Yeah, I was the one guy.
You know, even Jerry didn't play Dredge.
I know,
today.
Yeah. None of the three people that were thinking of playing Dredge, I was the only one out of the three that played.
Wow, you're that. Jeez. All right,
I every said that, but everybody else played Belcher.
That's true.
At least I'm giving people turns,
so,
right?
Did you decide to play Dredge because of a metagame decision, or did you just like, play Dredge?
I've been playing Dredge for a long time. There's nothing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the cards to play anything else, and nothing really piqued my interest. I was kind of interested in a regrowth deck, but I couldn't really make the numbers work out the way I wanted it to, so.
Well, how'd you do?
Bad.
How bad?
My only win was to you scooping to me, so.
Well, you know.
I drew in the first round.
You drew, that's why I scooped
you.
Two
tournaments in a row, two team series tournaments in a row.
How do you do that with Dredge? Like, I mean, I used to do that with Dredge back when my Dredge took forever to play.
Yeah,
because it was
before they printed all the Dredge cards?
Yeah, before they printed good Dredge cards. That's really interesting.
I don't know. The one draw was against the Rest in Peace, and he had Rest in Peace and five lands, two of them were wastelands, and then I just...
You seem pretty depressed about Rest in Peace when I was playing against you.
It's so tough to play. Because all of the answers that Dredge has are all like, once they're in play, you get rid of it, and then you go off, but like...
Yeah.
You can't work around Rest in Peace. You can only hope that you have a Nature's Claim in hand when Rest in Peace hits, and you have nothing relevant in your graveyard. And then if you get it out of the board, like, then you can do something, but then that spell has to resolve, and then you have to drop stuff, and then discard it, and give them a turn.
Does it make you want to switch to something else, or does it just make you want to cry?
Makes you want to cry a lot.
All right.
Especially in Ohio, when, like, all of the decks have, like, not been playing, like, there hasn't really been many, like, Dark Confidant lists, like, the black decks are okay to play against Dredge.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of figure out what their hate cards are. Like, you can bring in, like, Yixla Jailer hate or, like, Ravenous Trap hate or, like, you know, obviously the Nature's Claims and Inga Chew is already in there. But, like, Rest in Peace is, like, you can't answer it out of the current hate pool that they have unless you're playing, like, the big heavy blue list.
Yeah, yeah. Are you running any mental missteps to force your single... Or did you not have problems with people mental misstepping your...
Missteps are fine. No, I don't mind about that. They usually, especially in Game 2 when, like, all their hate matters, they usually just report about it anyway.
Really?
They're really... Like, Cabal Therapy?
Huh.
And Nature's... I mean, I guess Nature's Claims is good, but...
Yeah.
I feel like they're bringing in more relevant hate and taking out those kind of sort of mediocre cards.
All right. So, most importantly, what have you been drinking today?
Everything under the sun. Actually, Sprite and Fireball. I didn't think it was going to be that good. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it sounds awful, but it's like a 7-7 with cinnamon added. It's kind of good.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Been okay.
You got a quite large cup of that right now.
Yeah.
That's
I can't lie. I've been
savage.
That's the first bottle we've crushed in that room.
Okay. Thanks for talking to me. I would say good luck, but you've already bombed out.
I'm
going to
go cube and get drunk.
Awesome.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
So, tell me your name.
Hi, I'm Al Kappas, also known as Baldwin in the world of Magic.
And what were you playing today, Alec?
I was playing Rug Delver.
And how did Rug Delver go for you?
Really badly.
How badly?
I ended up 2-3, and that was because my last round scooped to me, so I actually only did 1-3.
Well, I mean, that's the same way I did. Are you saying I did terribly?
I think so.
Yeah, you're right. So, what went wrong?
I think it was just the meta and the matchups. Rug Delver was really bad against how many long decks are here and how many white decks are here. I had a really hard time against the white decks with Restoration Angel kicked my butt today. And they're just playing dudes with four in the butt, and Lightning Bolts just don't do anything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's actually why Nat thought that might be a good deck choice.
Yeah.
I think that you played against one Shops, right? Or did you play against two Shops?
Yes, I played against Nom in my third round.
And how'd that go? Because I talked to Nom about it, and I was like, you know, some people say that Rug Delver crushes Shops, some people say it's a pretty even matchup. What did you find?
One of the biggest reasons why I played Rug Delver is because of its Shops matchup.
Uh-huh.
Game one was really good. I just went, like, turn one Delver. He played some stuff, and I was like, turn two Goyf, and I'm just beating in for six for a couple turns. He starts blowing all my permanents. I get down to... zero permanents, and he's at three life.
Because he's stacking them out?
He's just locking out like that. But he didn't have any sphere effects, so I just Volcanic Island Lightning Bolt for the game one win. Game two and game three, he just was just a total blowout. He was just playing permanents, blowing out my mana sources.
Yeah.
I couldn't draw some lands in game three, and you know, he got it.
Knowing what you know now, what the metagame looks like, What would you have brought instead?
Red Shops is definitely, it's always played really well for me.
Oh, right, because that's your, like, signature deck.
Yeah,
is the Red Shops.
I hate Shops, and so I pretty much only play vintage decks that are good against Shops.
Uh-huh.
It seems really good in the mirror.
Yeah.
Double Loaders and Fiasciano Heretics and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I played Rogue Delver. It's been playing really well for me in the past couple of vintage tournaments I played in.
Fair enough. Well, Alec, thank you for talking to me, and I can't wish you good luck at this point, but... Take it easy.
Thank you very much.
All right, so who are you?
I am Jason Perret.
All right, and what are you playing today, Jason?
Blue-red Landfill.
What made you decide on Blue-red Landfill?
Well, it's kind of the deck that I've been playing a lot recently in Vintage. I only get to play it once every few months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of it's a deck that I know. It's a deck that I like, you know, the play style of. I like being able to, you know, play the control role, but occasionally just go aggro.
Do you feel like... Because there's discussion about whether blue-white or blue-red is better. Do you have an opinion on that?
I've never played blue-white. I mean, I think white has pretty good removal spells. I could see, you know, if you're playing a version of Snapcaster, or you could play Swords of the Plowshares,
mm-hmm.
that could be good in a field with creatures. But I felt like, you know, there would be a lot of blue control decks here, and I felt like the blue-red matchup is better for the blue control.
Fair enough. How have you been doing?
I'm good. I'm 2-0.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you do in round one?
I against all odds, I ended up beating the great Jeff Mose.
Oh, really?
Interviewer extraordinaire.
Yeah, yeah, playing Restoration Angel Control. What'd you play in round two?
I played the other Mose.
Yeah.
That Mose, also playing Restoration Angel Control.
How'd that go?
It was a little bit more interactive because my round one opponent got mana screwed continually. It was a little more interactive. It was 2-1. First game, he just smashed my face. Second game, I got the Crucible Strip Lock, which eventually got there. And then the third game was pretty interactive. But what ended up happening was he played an early Restoration Angel to try and race me. And I drew all five of my man lands, and I was able to just outrace the Crucible Flyer.
Nice.
Yeah.
You playing four
Mistress Factory and one Fairy.
One Fairy Conclave. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that because you beat me down with the Conclave, and I was curious how many you played because that card always drove me nuts with coming into play tabs.
Just the Singleton.
Just the Singleton. Well... apparently it got there, and it definitely stomped over me because I couldn't keep it off. The flying was really relevant against me because I couldn't do anything about it with Snapcaster.
Right.
Even chump blocking it for a turn.
Yeah, it's good when you get in those, and it's really good in the mirror as well if you get in those Mistress Factory stalemates, someone's got a standstill out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're on a flyer and you're in.
Seems really good. Cool. Any idea where you want to go to dinner tonight?
Wow, dinner. I hadn't even thought about that. There are a couple of good places around here. Greenhouse Tavern is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone's mentioned that, or Lolita in Tremont.
Yeah, all that we've talked about so far is Lolita, because they went there last night and apparently had fantabulous hamburgers.
Lolita is terrific. You can't really beat that as far as the intersection of value and food quality, location, and yeah, it's a good place.
Sounds good. All right, well, thank you very much, and good luck.
Cool, thank you.
My name is Anthony Michaels. A lot of people just call me Twan. Somehow I earned that nickname.
I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody actually call you Anthony Michaels.
Yeah, it's real world. It's real weird now because I don't answer to Anthony Michaels anymore, which is something I'm not used to, unless it's my mother calling me that.
Sometimes it's tough because I'll be like looking you up in my phone, and I'll be like, where's Twan? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He's under Anthony Michaels.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So Anthony, Twan, tell me, what are you playing today?
Today I'm playing a version of Espresso Stacks with just two cards different in a sideboard. Like, I'm running Trinisphere today instead of not running Trinisphere.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone who's over here, there's a huge, like, it's just a ton of combo.
Oh, okay. So that first turn,
yeah,
and explosive quality is better than grinding out, than drawing it in the late game and having it be dead.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get out of the game.
Are you playing the Lotus?
No, I'm not playing Black Lotus.
Okay. And how are you doing?
I am 1-1 right now. I lost round one to Grixis Control, and round two I won versus Dredge.
How did you lose against Grixis? What went wrong?
Hercule's Recall.
Oh, yeah.
The bane of every workshop players.
Yeah, that'll do it. Are you doing the Serum Powder plan?
Yeah. And I chose to run that route today because I noticed there's a lot of Burning Long, and I'm running the Leyline of Sanctities in the board again today.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
But I cut the Leyline of the Voids for Dismembers, Mazavis, and more Tabernacles.
Are you worried at all? Because, I mean, I think there's at least three Belcher players in there who all have said so far that they're playing Belcher because they were expecting shots.
Yeah. But it's kind of a coin flip match, though. Like, if you go first against the Belcher player,
you probably, like, if you have a Thorn and a Chalice, you're probably okay. But if they go first against you, you have to hope that they mull in game three very aggressively.
Yeah, because I think all of them are playing Leyline of Anticipation in expectation of having to be on the draw in game two and win on the draw.
And that's also another reason why I, like, my Leyline of Sanctity might help too.
Yeah, would you bring that in?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I'll take on, like, Tangle Wires and some other things.
Do you have a solution against letting empty the Warren, other than just keeping them from casting it?
I have Tabernacles in the board instead of Leyline of the Void. I figured there's only going to be, like, one or two people playing Dredge. And
right. And you beat the Dredge player without the Leyline of the Void. How'd that go?
Yeah. Yeah, it went well. Game one, obviously, I got destroyed. Game two, I had Wastelands and Grass Digger's Cages. And then game three, I had a hand of just multiple Lodestone Golems. And I was like, I can run this. And I did the math in my head, and I got there.
Yeah, I actually got a picture of that, of you sort of thumbing your Lodestone Golems on the board as he was doing graveyard math.
And then I had a Karn Silver Golem, too, in there.
Seems cool. All right. Thanks and good luck.
Thanks.
And who might you be?
I'm Rick Gideon, Zinvir on the forums.
And what are you playing today?
A red-blue Dragon Delver deck.
Is that World Gorger Dragon and Delver of Secrets?
It is Delver of Secrets and Thundermaw Hellkite.
Okay. How's that going for you?
I went 0-2 the first two rounds, but then I've gone 2-2, or 2-0 since, so.
Oh, excellent.
Round 2-2.
What have you been playing against?
Workshops, Belcher, Blue Control, and Garbage Aggro.
Did you beat Garbage Aggro?
No, that was one of the ones I lost to.
Really?
Yes.
I would think that your fatties would trump his fatties.
I wasn't drawing.
That's rough. So, how have you been performing against those? What were your wins?
I went 2-1 against Belcher, lost the first game, won the next two. Workshops, 0-2. Garbage Aggro, 0-2. 2-0 against Rug Delver.
Has your deck been performing as you expected?
I've only had it about a week, and test playing back in Columbus, it did really well for me. About 50-50 against most workshops, never lost to Doomsday, and the mirror matchup, so any sort of rug or blue magic, never lost to me, really.
What other kind of red stuff are you playing other than the dragons?
Four Bolts, Shock, Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, okay.
So a little bit more control on that side. Four Trap Casters as well.
Is your control package very heavy, or is it like a typical, like a Four Force and...
Four Force, Two Drain, Two Mana Leak.
Oh, really?
Two Mental Misstep, and Is It Charm.
Oh, awesome.
So, it's been balanced pretty well.
So at 2-2, you can win out into prize?
It's possible.
I think so. Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, no problem.
And who might you be?
I am Jerry Yang.
Oh, nice to talk to you, Jerry. So you, for this tournament, were given a deck by Mark Trogdon.
Yes.
And you specifically did not even register it.
No.
Register a real flip because you wanted to
never
be a surprise.
Yeah.
And so what are you playing?
Forge Master Shops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Metalworker Staff Forge Master.
Sure. And how's that been going for you?
Pretty shitty. I'm 2-2.
Okay. What have you played against?
I have played against drunk people and drunker people, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much the metagame right now.
So last round I just played against an extremely drunk Mr. Nat Moe. Very good. Not playing Belcher, so I was able to win. I was playing against looks like Tundra Dot Deck. That's the only card he played.
Awkward.
Yeah, it was very awkward. Before that was Stoneforge Mystic, basically Stoneblade, I think it's called in Standard, right?
Yeah, except he's not playing Blaze, he's playing Batterskull, so it's more like Stone Skull or Batterforge.
Batterforge.
Did you win against him?
No, I completely got trashed.
Really?
He had double Batterskull by like turn three. And just,
That seems real awkward.
Yeah, it was real bad. Let's see, and then before that was, and I don't remember round two. I think round two was drinking.
How much have you been drinking, Jerry?
Oh, no. Before that was Anthony Michaels. So I was playing Quan.
Oh, yeah.
Quan, and he was playing his workshop list.
Yeah. How'd the mirror go?
Well,
he's playing strictly control, and you're playing sort of combo.
Yeah, well, I'm playing more aggro and the combo, too. Quan had Dismember, and that just blew me up.
Oh.
Blew away all the creatures and all of it.
Yeah, that's real rough.
And then round one, I played against Blue-Red Thundermaw.
Yeah, that's what Rick was talking about. Yeah. Which seems interesting. It seems like a real Ohio-style brew. Yeah.
Real, surprisingly, like, hits real hard at the beginning, and is actually pretty good when you metamorph it. So, good figure.
Ouch.
How many Metamorphs do you play?
That's just four in the deck.
That card seems insane.
Yeah, I mean, like, the last game against Nat, turn one was Lodestone off of Cavern of Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And then turn two was rip the workshop and play Metamorph and then play Metamorph and end the game.
Hot. How much have you been just beating and how much have you comboed out with Metalworker at all?
Not yet. Yeah. In fact, I've only seen Metalworker twice.
Awesome. What are you drinking?
Currently, Hendrix Gin, two drops of lemon juice, and that's it.
What else have you been drinking?
Every single scotch we've had. I'm up to
like... There are like a dozen out there.
Yeah, I've drank them all.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite?
I brought the Glenlivet 15. That's probably my favorite. It's smoother because it's 15 rather than like a 10 or a 12.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenlivet doesn't have a burny aftertaste. Like a little acidic, a little burn. You know how some of the scotches that we have, well, you wouldn't know. Other people would have tried the Cardew. The Cardew has a very upfront, like, burn to it when you drink it. And that's a little off-putting for me. So I like the smoother, mellower scotches.
Cool. Anywhere you're looking forward to go for dinner?
I don't know. We were discussing that, actually, because 18 people and plus 18 drunk, rowdy people, it's kind of hard to get a table for.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about Market Garden Brewery because it's up the street. And they have a giant outdoor patio.
Oh.
So we can be loud and drunk there.
Awesome. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to me, Jerry.
Thanks.
Good luck. And so, you, sir, who are you?
Jake Hilty, Garbage Aggro on Team Series.
And what are you playing today? Is it Garbage Aggro?
It is indeed Garbage Aggro. I'm in fact playing Plateau.deck.
Yeah. So you're straight red white.
Yep.
This is the deck you were talking about that uses Shattering Blow and that kind of fun stuff.
Yep. And technically there is one blue card. I'm running Phyrexian Metamorph.
Oh. Okay.
But I have no way to play blue mana.
Okay. So it's always Phyrexian.
It's always damage. Yep.
So how's that been for you? In general, plus the Metamorph.
Pretty good. It's gone back and forth. It's pretty good against the expected metagame, if there is such a thing.
I think the expected metagame is really weird shops and combo.
Sure. So no, so the first part all day, real shop, weird shop, I'm good with, blue deck, I'm good with, kind of regular vintage, I'm okay with, but there was a lot more combo here today than I thought there'd be. Played against Belcher twice, I have two losses today.
Yeah, Belcher?
Those things are strongly correlated, I'll say that much.
Yeah. What else have you played against?
I played against another creature-y deck, but with blue in it, Noble Fish.
Okay.
And I beat that. I have Lightning Bolts and
Sword. Who's playing Noble Fish?
Hazard.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I just played against Tuan with an Espresso Stack build, and Batterskull plus main deck Welders in the non-artifact deck do pretty well.
So your record is 3-2, right?
3-2, but
does that put you in the top 8?
This is just round 5, I think.
Is there another round?
I think I'm in the top 8. I think I just got paired into the top 8.
Oh, that's excellent news.
I know.
You're playing against Charles playing...
blue, black, good stuff, Dark Confidant, restricted list, dot. Yeah.
You feel good about this?
Well, we played before the tournament a little bit just to kind of, you know, shake off the cobwebs, and I crushed him.
Good.
And he's been talking a lot of smack today. In fact, some might say talking shit.
Oh, no. No.
And I'm gonna just destroy him.
That sounds good. What have you been drinking? Everything?
Whiskeys of various stripes. I've had a fair amount of rye. I tried a couple of the different scotches that we've had. I brought rye with me, though, in bitters, so I've made a couple old fashions, as described on earlier, serious cast for people. And I tried the gin that some of the other guys have talked about. It's really good.
Oh, cool.
I think Ransom?
Excellent.
Really good, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we can cut this short, and you can go in and stomp Charles, so thanks for talking.
I do really want to cut him. You've been talking so today.
My name is Nam Tran.
And what are you playing today?
I am playing Tuan Espresso Stacks.
Are you playing, like, literally same Tuan Espresso Stacks, complete with no Trinisphere or no Black Lotus?
No Lotus or Trinisphere. I haven't really had much time to research the vintage scene since I haven't really played too much recently, so I just took something that's been doing well, something I felt comfortable with in playing, and that's why I sleeved up today.
Because, you know, Tuan actually is playing the Trinisphere today. He's, going back on everything he said and playing Trinisphere.
Yeah, I was looking at the random Pithing Needle in the main deck, and I thought it could be Black Lotus or Trinisphere, or a couple of other things, so I decided to just run with it and see what happens.
And how has it been going for you?
It's going okay. I'm 2-1. I lost to a Oath Burning long combo deck in the first round, but after that I beat you actually playing Blue White Restoration Angel and
fancy that.
And I beat Alan playing Rug Delver last round.
So I know that Tuan included the Trinisphere to defend against combo burning long decks.
did you see the pithing needle when you were playing against them? And they're like, this could be a Trinisphere right now.
No, I didn't see the pithing needle. It didn't really matter in my first round because I lost the dice roll and Jimmy just went Orchard Mock Oath. So I tried to combat against that, but ultimately failed. And then game two, he boarded into Lab Man, and I didn't really have any way to circumvent that from winning him the game. So I don't think the Trinisphere would have been super relevant in either case there, but that's a small sample set.
You said you beat Delver in round three, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how'd that go? Because I know I've heard that there's a lot of, personally, I've heard people saying both that Shops is a hard matchup for Delver or Delver crushes Shops.
Yeah, I haven't actually played that matchup yet, and Alec was seemed real upset when I beat him because he said that the matchup should be heavily in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
Game one was kind of rough. He started off with a Delver and then a quick Tarmogoyf, and I ended up wiping his board, and I had a board presence but no spheres. So he dropped me down to three, and he just top decked Volcanic Island and Lightning Bolt.
Did you wipe him with a
smoke deck?
Smoke deck, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I found in that matchup. That's why it's interesting to me because Rug Delver relies on its bolts to keep Shops off the board, but when you have permanent threats like Crucible or Stacks that their lightning bolts don't work against, they sort of really hurt.
Yeah.
And that was your experience?
So far, yeah. I mean, they do have cards like Tarmogoyf, which are kind of a pain, but as long as you have Tangle Wires and Smokestack, like, you can always play around them.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds great. All right, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks.
So, who are you?
Brandon Witherell, a.k.a. Icy Triskelion.
And what are you playing today?
Burning Wish Belcher.
What made you... Sam was also playing Burning Wish Belcher. I mean, not Burning Wish Belcher, he was playing Red Black Belcher. What made you decide to play Belcher today?
The only deck that I can play drunk.
Oh, well that makes me... Yeah, that's really good.
I play better drunk.
Yeah.
Doing many, many hours of testing.
How are you doing?
1-1.
What'd you win against? What'd you lose against?
Belcher. I won against Belcher. Yes, I 2-0'd the mirror match. And I lost to Stoneforge because I couldn't read my opponent's cards.
Oh, what happened?
I probed, that scene he had, it's too much to drink, basically. Yeah, I'm on number, I don't know what number I'm on right now. I Gatexian probed him, didn't realizing he had Steel Sabotage, and played Belcher into Steel Sabotage.
Oh!
But that was after I Gatexian probed and Street Rave for 12.
Wow, that seems pretty good.
Yeah. And he played Snapcaster and beat me.
That's rough. How was the Belcher mirror?
Pretty good.
Was it just like whoever won the die roll, or?
Oh, he run the die roll, and he Wheel of Fortune, and then Memory Jarred, and then sputtered up.
Ouch.
And then I played some cards and two Wheel of Fortune again, and then got my enough mana to where I got my one last red mana source to play, and to win.
All right, thank you, Randall. And who might you be?
Eric Butler.
Nice to talk to you, Eric. What are you playing today?
Same thing I always play, which is blue-white, Stone Blade, there's no blade, Stone Skull.
Yes, yes. How's things been going for you?
Good so far. First round was Belcher, second round...
Did you beat Belcher?
Yeah. I have a decent amount of permission on the main.
Oh, okay.
And game three, he didn't read that I had Steel Sabotage after he could take
Oh, right. I think, yeah, we talked to Randall about
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, I don't know what
he just
there.
Didn't read it?
Yeah, I laid out my hand and just left it there.
Because when he said that he didn't read a card right, I thought he meant that there was a proxy error or something.
No, it's just non-proxy, actually.
It's a real Steel Sabotage.
I just pulled it out of my hand because he turned one from me and just was like, well, you know, if you got it, you got it. And then he didn't play it. Next turn he played Belcher, sabotaged it. Next turn he played Belcher, Snapcaster, still sabotaged it.
That's real awkward.
Yeah.
Oh.
It worked.
So you beat Belcher and then round two?
Round two I played against whatever Jerry's playing.
Oh yeah, he's playing Forge Master Shops and he said you trounced him.
Well, that was the only match in three tournaments where I've gotten actually two batter skulls out and play at the same time, which was pretty good versus Shops.
Satisfying?
Yeah. I put in Tinker today and
really?
That took game one real quickly.
Do you have a real Bob or do you Tinker for batter skull?
No, I put a Blade Steel in.
Oh, okay.
I cut the two card win combos I used to run. So I used to have Volky, Rest in Peace, Helm, and I was getting a little janky. Too many one-ups that I draw and wait for the other piece. So I cut that, left the Rest in Peace in because it's just good versus Tarmogoyf.
So you're playing Rest in Peace main?
Yeah, I won Rest in Peace main with an Enlightened Tutor to find it.
Oh, nice.
And then supplementing the mystical tutor ring that works for the Tinker, calcifying Enlightened if I need a chain to a rest in peace, I guess.
Sure. Mystical tutor for Enlightened tutor for rest in peace seems super Ohio style.
I've done crap here. I've merchant scrolled for a tutor to get something on top to wait a turn to play it. Sometimes you have to turn to Grayson to 0-1.
The best one is where you merchant scroll for mystical with the intent to get Tinker, then things go wrong and you end up mysticaling for ancestral. This was the wrong way to go.
That's my backup because I don't really know what to get whenever I tutor in vintage periods, so when in doubt, get recall and hope my hand just explains it to me.
What'd you do 3 and 4?
Round 3 was against Jimmy, and I didn't know what he was playing after the first game. Because he just dropped a Forbidden Orchard and kind of, he had a mole 5.
Uh-huh.
And I turned 1, got a battery claw out, and beat him to death. And game 2, I guess he mulled a 6 and had a real awkward hand of some mana sources and I countered most an Oath and something else. I think he's playing Burning.
Stupid Burning Long Chumps, yeah, whatever.
Something, I don't know.
Those guys.
I have counter spells and battery spells, so. And then, I guess round 4, we intentionally drew with Volko.
Oh, nice.
We played 2 practice games, I did get them both.
Nice, nice.
One was a Batter Skull on a Blaze Steel Colossus.
That's pretty savage.
Oh, real.
Best friends forever. What have you been drinking?
I started the day with a White Russian, oversized.
That was the big one, right?
Yeah, it was a 8 to 10 ouncer.
Ouch.
Since then, I've mostly been destroying the cookies.
Cool.
And dipping the chocolate chip cookies in the White Russian.
All right. Good luck in the rest of the day. Thank you very much for talking to me. So, who are you?
My name is Sam Krollo.
Okay, and what are you playing today?
I'm playing basically Red-Black Belcher.
Interesting. Why did you decide to play Belcher?
I kind of assumed a lot of people would be playing Shops.
Because it is Ohio and stuff?
Because we're in Ohio.
Yeah.
So, turn 1, I can usually just load the board or win against Shops. And I play Leyline of Anticipation of the board.
Oh, really?
Do the same.
Have you pulled shit off yet?
I did. It wasn't against Shops. It was against Jake playing aggro, and I actually didn't even need it. But I ended up playing Necro on my turn, and then in my end step, through Leyline, I won. I got empty for over 20 goblins.
Oh.
Because I already stormed during my turn.
Nice.
So it worked out pretty good there.
How you doing so far? This is after round 2.
Yep.
So.
I lost round 2 to Jimmy McCarthy playing Burning Long. We both mulliganed to 5 game 1, and it was pretty awful. And game 2, he ended up, we both mulliganed to 6, and he ended up wheeling exactly in the memory jar, and then, we wheeled exactly into Mind's Desire, and then got memory jar off of that, and then got the win out of that. So I just got unlucky. Turn 1, I played empty for 8 goblins, and I almost got there. One more turn, and Ottawa.
Well, that's sometimes the way it goes. But you're still in this, unlike me, who is now 0-2.
What are you playing?
Oh, you're playing Restoration Angel Control. Yeah. At least Nat's doing well with it.
Is he 2-0?
I think that he's finishing up his second match, but he won match 1.
Okay.
Let's see. Where do you want to go to dinner this evening?
I've never been to Cleveland before.
Really? This is your first time?
My first time in Cleveland.
Well, we got a lot of Cleveland experienced people, so I don't actually know where we're going either, but I guess we'll find out.
Last night we went to Lolita?
Oh, yeah. Jerry said the burger was phenomenal.
It was really good. I had mussels for the first time and bone marrow for the first time.
Really?
They were both delicious.
Neato. So, what's your name?
Charles Rocco.
Ah, Charles, what have you been playing today?
Grixis Control, based on Mark Lanegar's list from Worlds.
Oh, okay. And how's that been going for you?
Pretty good. I liked everything he did with the deck. I took out a Mental for the metagame and added a Jace of the Mind Sculptor to increase the threat density. Changed the sideboard a little bit around for Cleveland for the Workshops meta.
Has that worked out well for you?
So far, I only got to play Twan, so not really too much. He just played a lot of Spheres and locked himself out of the game, and I proceeded to play Jace the Mind Sculptor for, 8 mana.
That seems awkward for him. You just won in top 8, so you'll be heading on to top 4, correct?
Looks that way. I'm going to be the fairest of the unfair blue decks, it seems. I'm going to be playing Grixis against Menindian Long and at least a copy of Goblin Charbelcher.
Sweet. How'd you beat Red-White Hate Bears?
Game 1, I forced an interaction where he had to weld out my Time Bolt for my Black Lotus, which allowed me to cast Jace and unsummon his Goblin Welder. The following turn, he was able to recast Goblin Welder, but that turn, I was able to cast the Yawgmoth's Will and assemble Bulky and take infinite turn.
Nice.
And in Game 2, he expended Double Bolt on my first Jace. I followed it up with a second one that he also bolted. I followed that up with a Pressured Mystical Tutor for Will, was able to pull my entire deck back into play, essentially.
Awesome.
Alex is the only Simian Spirit guy out of the game.
Cool. So yeah, that would be put you against Jimmy, I think, in the next round.
Probably. So our chances there are probably about 60-40 in favor 60, probably.
What else did you face in the Swiss? What was your record in the Swiss?
302. We ID'd in the last two.
Oh, nice.
Played against Workshops, against Swan in round one, and won 2-0. Round two, I played against Solly on Meninian Long and won 2-1. Game one and three were blowouts. Game two, he killed me on turn one. I didn't do anything.
Combo.
Did you compare on Landfill?
Oh, how'd that go?
Really,
I mean,
interesting.
You won.
Game one is clearly a big fight over all the counter spells. I drain, he forces, I fluster storms. He fluster storms back. I fluster storm back again. Win the fluster storm war over Yawgmoth Quill and resolve my entire discard pile, which was about 30 cards deep, including Lotus and 3 or 4 Mox that he EE'd away at one point in the game.
Whew.
So I get to recast my entire deck basically and go off. Game two, he wins barely. And game three, I win in turns after being able to cast again, fluster storm, and then in response to that, after that resolve, he tries to counter it again with Mana Drain. I spin Sensei's Divining Top and find my 1-0 Pyroblast from the board, and Pyroblast his Drain.
Oh! Wow. Nice. What'd you play in round three? Or that was round three. And then you just threw in.
Round four and five, we ID'd in against Eric awesome. Butler on Stoneforge Control, and against Jimmy on Minidian Long again.
Awesome. Well, have you been drinking at all today?
Nope.
Oh, so you've been keeping sober and beating up on the drunk guys.
There you go.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, best of luck in top four, and,
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Jimmy McCarthy. I guess LHC most places.
Hi, Jimmy. So what were you playing today?
I am playing Steve Menendian's, Burning Long deck.
Is it card for card?
Or? I am playing 74 cards of what he played last time he was in Ohio.
Who would you switch?
I cut the third Shattering Spree in the board, so I only have 10 dedicated workshop slots in the board for a Thought Seize. So I had one card I can bring in every other matchup.
Sounds good. And how has it been going for you?
I am in the top four due to some rather serious misplays by my opponent who gifted me the game three of the top eight there.
Yeah, Nam was looking kind of depressed there.
Yeah, it started very bad when he played a smokes deck and then he chose not to ramp it the next turn against my Orchard Mox, or my Orchard Mana Crypt Oath in play.
Oh.
That's so good. And then a couple turns later when he neglected to stack his second creature, so I got to Oath again and win.
Oh. Well, that seems bad.
Yeah.
What have your other matchups been? Obviously, we just finished top eight,
yeah.
But how'd you do in Swiss?
Let's see, the first round I played Sam with Belcher, which is just dumb, and we both mauled the
five. It's dumb, but who won?
We both mauled the five, game one. I got to Oath because I kept a hand that was two Orchards and two Oaths, and then I Oathed and killed him. And then game two, I was dead on board to 9 tokens, including one from my Orchard. So I managed to tap deck Wheel of Fortune into exactly Mana for Desire 4.
That's right. He was
Memory Jar into exactly Mana for Demonic Burning Wish Yawgwill.
He was not psyched about that.
No, he was unhappy, and I don't blame him because I top decked my
really
Wheel of Fortune out of topic,
back to that.
And then I got there on exact Mana 3 times.
Have you felt like you've had some harebrained victories or of most of your
It's either been, oh cool, I got turn one Oath and then I get Gristlebrand and then I draw 14 cards and pass. In a game of that, I drew 14 cards and yeah, I'll play a Chromox and I will discard 5 cards. There is no mana. This is fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean the deck is, it reminds me of the Tyrant Oath deck from back in the day.
Really?
The Gush Oath deck in that it's a pretty crappy Oath deck and it's a pretty crappy combo deck, but you get games where you draw some of each, where you're like, yeah, cool, I'll play Forbidden Orchard Mox Burning Wish. And then you'll play a spell and they'll counter it, and then you'll play a second Forbidden Orchard and get another spell countered, and then you kind of die to tokens.
Fun time.
And that sucks. And then you'll have other games where you're like, yeah, City of Brass Mox Oath of Druid. Well, I guess I'm not doing anything.
But at least it's gotten you at least 2 Force of Wills at this point.
Yeah. If you get the right half, if you're Orchard Mox Oath, boom, you kind of win all those games. And
good time.
You turn one kill Dredge, which I got to do, you win those games too.
Nice. So you have, I don't know, I actually am not very familiar with the deck.
Okay.
It has no Dredge board?
No, no. Dredge?
You just killed him.
I mean, it's a turn 2 combo deck. You're basically running, like Grimlong style.
Yeah.
Except for that
part of your combo is you also just have four Oath of Druids and two Gristlebrands.
Fair enough.
That's just tinker for bargain.
Sure.
But yeah, otherwise you're just straight up long. So, I mean, you don't really need an Oath board when you kill on turn
how
two.
Much of your, how many of your wins have been Oath and how many of your wins have been just like long, go up and tendrils them?
Man, it's probably pretty close. I think I've won more with Oath just because I've drawn a lot more Oath hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Oath is really easy to win with.
Yeah, yeah.
Like totally. When you draw Gristlebrand, and I mean, those wins tend to be, I kill them with combo out, but it's really an Oath win.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, I've only had a couple where I won without Oathing, basically.
Most importantly, what have you been drinking today?
I've been taking it easy, so I've just been on beer.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing some of the Conway something, the Great Lakes Irish Ale, which is pretty good. As a Wisconsinite, I figured I would buy some local beer, and the gas station we went to was like, all right, so we could get one of seven Bud products, one of seven Miller products, or Great Lakes. I was like, all right, I guess I'll buy a Great Lakes product.
Sounds all right.
Miller Lite at home.
Well, all right. Thanks, Jimmy, for talking with us, and good luck. First of all, who are you?
Oh, you're recording right now?
Yes,
Mike Paralamasi.
All right. And what are you playing today, Mike?
I'm playing a variation of Menendian's Burning Long deck, which really is anyone's Burning Long deck. I just don't like the H-Tombs, so I'm not playing those.
What are you playing instead?
I just have a whole bunch of different artifact removal at different costs. I have one Steel Sabotage, two Nature's Claims, because I want to be able to blow up the Null Rod Enchantment. I have an Ancient Grudge, because I think everyone that's not running that card when they can cast it right now is ridiculous. And two extra Hercules Recalls in the sideboard.
Mm-hmm. And how has that been going for you?
Not too well. I played Belcher twice. That was good. So I played.
Well, I know you beat the first one because we talked to Zach earlier.
I did. I played Belcher twice. The first time I beat him. The second time I played a Necro and could kill him. And Randall drew a Memory Jar and naturally found Lotus off the Memory Jar. I don't think Belcher loses when they draw Lotus with any amount of cards in their hand ever. And then game two, I actually had Mindbreak Shots on my sideboard because I expected a lot of combo here. And
yeah.
To fight through that, you need some interaction. And
I've heard quite a few people saying that they expected a decent amount of combo, and I think that that came true.
Yeah, I had a board state in game two against Randall that was Mindbreak Trap, Yawgmoth's Bargain in hand, Lotus, Talarian Academy, and City of Brass. Waiting to just draw any artifact, any ritual, any mana source. I counted 26 active draws to just play Bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to like Hercules Recall him whenever he was trying to belch me because he knew about the Mindbreak Trap. So he was playing the Belcher and then trying to...
Yeah.
And eventually I had to crack the Lotus to hit the first Belcher and naturally drew the second Belcher a couple of turns later and I just didn't draw mana. So I lost that one. I've also played against Restoration Angel Control.
Oh!
So...
Yes, there are two of those here today.
Yeah, played against Restoration Angel Control and then played against Grixis, which is my testing. Now granted, I've only tested against one of the decks I've played against today because, you know, this is Ohio.
Right.
Play as much as they want.
Yeah. Dude, we have UR Dragon Delver, Dragon being Hellkite, Thundermaw Hellkite.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's the Ohio stylist of the Ohio style here.
But I played against a pretty stock Grixis Control deck, and in my testing, it's ridiculously in my favor, but mulliganed and then wheeled him into the triple counterspell time lock hand. That was rough.
Sends the brakes on draw sevens, man.
It happens. Yeah. I mean, I didn't get Flusterstorm, so I can't really complain because that was my biggest fear is just draw sevens my opponent into like Flusterstorm Snapcast or Flusterstorm.
And that hasn't happened?
But it hasn't happened yet. I don't know. We have one more round. I'm pretty sure a 3-2 can make it. So.
Cool. What have you been drinking?
I actually had a lot of Yingling, which we have Spotted Cow in Wisconsin, so like I drink Spotted Cow, which is a... You're still recording there.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of Spotted Cow, but I bought some Yingling. That was good. And then I can't remember. I remember Chapel on the last podcast, Juan said, recommended this gin. So I've been drinking a little bit of that.
From the Watershed? Or is this something else?
Trying to remember. It was a darker gin. And then he has, I want to say he has some, I can't even remember the name of it now, but a lot of gin, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get better when the drunker you are or worse? Oh, okay.
No, I actually quit drinking for about 6 years until I moved recently, and then I started drinking a little bit, but I don't drink heavily anymore, so.
But today's a special day.
Yeah.
Excellent.
A weekend is a special day now, but.
All right, well, thanks for talking to me today, Sally. Good luck.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Serious Vintage. I'm Jeff Mose.
I'm Matt Mose.
And I'm Jerry Yang.
And we hope you'll join us next time for more Serious Vintage.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Take a little trip. Take a little trip. Take a little trip and see. Take a little trip. Take a little trip. Take a little trip with me.
All right, so I hope that one got recorded okay.